Radio friends, I would direct your attention today to a very beautiful promise of God found in Psalm 68, verse 6. And the title of our meditation today will be God's Gift of the Family. Your family, according to God's Word, is a gift of God. A Christian family comes in the infinite compassion of the majestic and glorious God. A Christian family is the product of God's hand and of God's heart. So we are taught in the Scripture in Psalm 68, verse 6, we read, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Psalm 68 was sung or written by David when he brought the Ark of the Covenant of God out of the house of Obed-Edom up to the place that he had prepared for it in the city of Jerusalem. As he is engaged in this, he thinks of how the Ark, built originally by Moses and carried by the priests, that the Ark would lead the way as Israel journeyed for 40 years in the wilderness. And so, he begins Psalm 68 with the prayer that Moses would utter whenever the Ark went forward to lead Israel in the wilderness. We read in Numbers chapter 10, 35, and in Psalm 68, verse 1, Rise up, Lord, let thy enemies be scattered, let them also that hate thee flee away as smoke is driven away. Lord, is the prayer, lead us, protect us. Our enemies of personal sin and temptation are ever around us. As the wind drives away smoke, so, Lord, go before us and make the way plain and protect us. This leading, says David, in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 68, shall make the righteous people glad. Let them rejoice before God, yea, let them rejoice exceedingly, he says. Sing unto God, sing praises to God. He calls our attention to our God's majesty and glory, and that he is above all praise. He rideth, says David, upon the heavens by his name Yah. Soaring above all that is majestic and honorable is God himself. The word Yah is the abbreviation of Jehovah, which means I am, that I am. It's found only there in Psalm 68, verse 4, and is really involved in the word hallelujah, rejoice before Jehovah. That's what hallelujah means. But then, lest we think that God is exalted beyond reach and that we can have no approach and that we must hide in terror, David begins in verse 5, to speak of the infinite tenderness of our great and majestic God. He says, A father of the fatherless and a judge of widows is God in his holy habitation. A father of the fatherless. The great heart of God for orphans and widows, for deserted and lonely sinners. How many orphans were there in the 40 years wilderness as Moses led the people of God for 40 years waiting for all those who were over 20 to die before they could enter into the land of Canaan. How many orphans there must have been. And God cared for them. And still more, the pity and the tender heart of the majestic Jehovah is seen in this. God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth those that are bound. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And again, the point is the great compassion of God. The point of the passage is this, that our families are the glorious gift of Jehovah to us, his desolate and spiritually needy children. God's great mercy and God's great love in Jesus is seen in the establishment of a Christian family. He, Jehovah, the majestic and yet God filled with loving kindness, is the God who sets the solitary in families. We are being taught in Holy Scripture that as Christians we must receive in thanksgiving our family and live consciously of the blessing of the great good that our families are for our spiritual life. God is pleased to nurture and to guard our spiritual lives in our families. In the family, he is pleased to show his love, mold our faith, comfort our sorrows, and give us true happiness. In the family, we learn and taste of His love, we experience His care, so that we can say with another psalm, Psalm 71, from youth, Thou art my trust. The family then is not a human contrivance. It is not the product of men, but it is God's gracious gift to us, His children. And you say, Pastor, my home does not fit so often those words. My home is troublesome. The youth, the children, don't want to be there. It's a place of anger and fighting. And that is true. We are broken sinners, and we need God's Word to heal us and to instruct us. Maybe you say, but I have no family. I'm single. I'm not married. I don't come from a believing home. I have no children right now to fill my house with joy. We're not given children. And I respond to you, yet the family is the great gift of God to you. For we are members of the family of God, His church. God's gracious gift is the family. Note with me that David in Psalm 68 is saying that the family is precious, first of all, because it's the place where Jehovah gives us to experience fellowship with Him. God sets the solitary or lonely in families or in homes. Your home, then, as children of God, should be very precious to you, not because of what it costs or the fact that you remodeled it and did the sweat work, but your home should be precious because in that home, God is pleased to give you to enjoy fellowship with Him. As a sinner, we are described as the solitary, as the lonely. Sin always isolates. Sin's goal in our life is that we be alone, all alone. Sin always makes us look within, think of ourselves, and the consequences of sin are always isolation, isolation from God and from one another. As sinners, we then are solitary, or in other words of Scripture, we are castaways, aliens, strangers, lonely, burdened. We cry out in our loneliness. We go through depression. We go through that which is solitary and alone. But God's grace comes to us. And that grace finds us as a sinful, solitary soul, cast away, and unites us to Jesus Christ by grace, unites us to the family of God, the church, and then, through marriage, grants to us a family, a place where we might experience fellowship with God, with Jehovah. Going back to verse 4, David said that we extol Him that rides upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. I said that's the name Jehovah. I am that I am, a name that looks within God, in which God says, this is what I am. I am what I am. And by pointing to Himself, He's pointing to the fact that He's a God who in Himself has everlasting fellowship. God is not lonely. We stand before the great truth of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the truth that shows us that God is a living God. He's not one. He's not solitary throughout eternity. He's not lonely, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another purely, talk freely, cherish one another dearly, and in His grace, He is moved to bring us to experience that fellowship with Him, which the Bible calls covenant. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, He brings us to experience a fellowship that He Himself is the author of. And in the family, He says, I'm pleased through faith in me to give you to enjoy that fellowship with each other. God's grace gives us the institution of the family as a place where we might experience fellowship with Him and each other as we walk as His children in a weary and lonely world. That means that our homes need to reflect Him. Consciously, we must build our homes to reflect Him. Our homes then will be filled with graciousness. Note the words, God sets the lonely in a house that oozes with His graciousness and kindness. God is so gracious and filled with pity toward us. Are you gracious as God is gracious to you, to the members of your family? Do you show that? Are you intolerant of the weaknesses of a wife or a husband? Do you say, why does she need to be that way all the time? Are you irritable with your children? Is there in your home unacceptance, yelling, fighting, bickering, a big lip, arguing? Do you children want to go home? Our homes, first of all, must be filled with a graciousness, not with a criticism, why can't you? But with a graciousness that God shows to us in our salvation. Our homes must not only be filled with graciousness, but they must be filled with compassion. God's heart goes out in pity toward us and toward the suffering. The family is the place where we invite the lonely, the aged mother or widow, the lonely teenager, the visitor at church. Our homes are places of compassion. Within our homes, we must be compassionate one toward each other. We are very concerned in the building of a physical house about radon and asbestos because they are threats to our health. And so if you buy a house that has radon and asbestos, it has to be taken out. Well, there are the asbestos and the radon of ill will, resentment, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. Take that out of your house. And then our homes will be filled with communication, talking. If our homes are to reflect the fellowship of God, then homes have to be a place where we talk with each other. We open up to each other. We talk about more than just earthly, mundane things, but we talk about our faith and our walk and our spiritual life with God. The living Word of God must be the warmth, must be the comfort, must be the basis of our fellowship. There must be times for regular family devotions around the Word of God. As we live in this lonely world, when everyone in the world becomes more and more distant from each other and in families, everyone in his own room, their face glued to a computer, to Facebook, to a television, but never talking. The picture of the Christian family is not that. The picture of the Christian family is a place of communion, fellowship, talking, even as God has communion with us. I said the family is precious because it's the place where God is pleased to give us to enjoy fellowship with Him. But the family is precious also, according to our text today, because it's the gracious means of God to deliver us from a life lived under the tyranny of sinful pride. When we come back again to read the text, Psalm 68, verse 6, we see that the text is talking about more than just loneliness and the prison of feeling isolated. But let's read the whole text complete as a whole. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those bound in chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now, the verse is written in what is called Hebrew parallelism, which means that all of the parts must be taken together and reflect upon each other, so that the evil that is considered in the text, from which the family is a gift of God to deliver us, is being solitary, alone, dwelling in chains, and rebellion. And the meaning then is this, that our problem as a sinner is that we live a life for self, rebellious. We are narcissistic. We are under the bondage of our own pride and selfishness. And as surely as the drops of the rain fall to the earth by the hand of God and run into the tile and then into the ditch and then the stream and then the river and then out into the lake or into the ocean, so also the course of our life, the course of a child's life, flows to self-centered bondage. The bondage of pride and sin, unless God's grace brings us to the joy of forsaking ourself and finding our all in serving Him. Unless God brings us out of that bondage of sin into the liberty of the grace of God in Christ. And what are the means that God uses for that? Well, you say, Pastor, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Word of God, it's the preaching, yes. But it's the family. Also, the Christian family is the means of God to deliver us from a life lived under the tyranny of sinful pride. We are born chained in rebellion. Rebellion against God. We are born proud, me, selfish, isolated, solitary. There's no room for anybody else in our sinful pride, except that the other person become our footstool. This is what Satan instilled in Adam and Eve. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You are God. And Scripture defines our sin, for which the Son of God came to die and deliver us. In this way, Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we as sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And that selfishness, that pride, brings isolation. We say it when we're filled with pride and we want our own sinful way. That's the way we speak in the family. We say, well, if that's the way it is around here, I'm outta here. Well, we say, my parents, who do they think they are to tell me? You see, there's no fellowship when rebellion and pride reign in our heart. There will be bickering, there will be fighting. There will only be emptiness. We will end up alone. You say to me, oh, Reverend, I don't know about that. Look at the ungodly sinners who live according to their own sins and pride, but yet look at them in their parties and in their bars. They're happy, they're dancing, they're hugging, they're making out, they're having a good time. No. Hollow emptiness is the clang of an empty barrel. Young girl, you want attention? Do you want someone to love you? And then someone who does not know Jesus shows you that attention? And then they use you? And then finally you live together? And you find that they are irritable? And they hit you? And they abuse you? Sin is selfishness. Selfishness is pride. Pride is loneliness. And it leads to bondage. The verse speaks of chains. Our sinful pride ensnares us. It isolates us, and then sin enslaves us. Hear that. Sin first isolates you. In your pride, you leave the family. You leave the marriage. You leave places which are going to tell you that you're wrong. You walk away, you say, I ain't going to hear that, not me. Sin isolates you, and then sin enslaves you. When you think about you, me, myself, when you're filled with self-pity and pride, the devil is bringing out the chains, and he's ready to lock you up in the chains and bondage of sin. God's gift of the family is that is so precious because it is the institution through which His grace comes to deliver us from that sinful pride, from a life lived in the bondage of self. That's why He gives us a family. That's why He sets us in the church. For life in the believing family and in the believing church is not self. The life of Jesus Christ is fellowship. You must make room. You must destroy that idol that is called me. And God sets you in a family. Why did God put you in a family? Graciously to turn, this is the reason, graciously to turn you from the course of life that we would choose with the world, in which we would come under the bondage of sinful pride, sinful me. He uses the family to break that bondage by His grace so that we learn what it is to love and to live in humble love and fellowship with each other. To yield our way, to be considerate, to open our eyes for the other as a reflection of the grace of God, who has had respect and pity upon me. And so our families exist to teach us repentance. Our families exist to teach us what sin is, and selfishness, and pride, and how we are to deal with that sin and repent. Mom and Dad are examples. That means that Mom and Dad are not stuck on themselves, but what my pleasures and my time and my entertainments and my figure and me. Mom and Dad are not stuck on themselves, but they teach how they live with each other. They teach wise and lovingly that life in Christ is to serve one another in self-denying love. And they bring up their children that way. And they direct the course of their family away from the bondage of pride, the pride of the world, to the humility and to the freedom of fellowship with God in Christ. This is why the family is so precious. The family is precious because it is the gift of God whereby we enjoy fellowship with God. It's the gift of God whereby the tyranny of the bondage of a sinful life lived under pride is to be broken. You believe that? That's God's word. Then guard your family. Guard it from the sewer, from the deluge of sexual perversions aimed at ensnaring and destroying you and your children. Guard your family and deliver it from the prevailing allurements of materialism. Understand that you're not on earth simply to find out how much possessions you can accumulate, or to follow the latest fashion, or to live for the dollar. And above all things, defend your home from your selfishness, from your pride, from your self-seeking. The family, then, is God's beautiful, precious gift to us. In the covenant of His grace, cherish it by living humbly obedient to God, by repenting of your sins, finding your refuge in the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you cherish your family? Do you know how precious it is? Do you thank God for your family? Is your family today in trouble? I know why David began the Psalm 68 as he did. He wrote, "Let God arise, and by His might put all His enemies to flight." So we pray, "Lord, arise and defend my home. As Israel in the wilderness, I am unworthy, foolish, stiff-necked, self-centered sinner. Rise up, O Lord, by Thy word and spirit, go before me, and may my family travel together as Israel of old through a dry and weary wilderness, a dry and weary world, experiencing fellowship with God, obeying, trusting, following, rejoicing in Jehovah, who is our strength and has promised to bless us." Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the word, and we pray for Thy Spirit to work it in our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen.